English Proficiency Exam. Listening Section. Part 1. While Listening. Listen to the first half of a radio interview about the changing face of Italy. As you listen, answer the questions by choosing the best alternative. You'll listen to the recording once only. You now have 30 seconds to look at questions 1 to 5. Now, listen.
Radio WHD.
Hi, everybody. I'm Troy McClain. It's 10 a.m. now, and you're listening to the WHD Community Radio. In a few seconds, we'll be joined by Jean Hooper, Guardian correspondent who published a new book, The Italians. She's currently on a book tour but has taken time out to talk to us. As she puts it, say the word Italy and we think of sun-kissed piazzas, stars over the Mediterranean, historic museums and mouth-watering food. As Jean Hooper explains in her new book, it's a complex country where the past is always present. Mrs. Hooper, welcome to our radio program. It's great to finally have you on WHD Community Radio this morning.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. It's great to be back in my hometown, too. It's been a while.
Okay, Mrs. Hooper. If you're ready, I'd like to start off with a couple of questions. You call Italy the beautiful country, yet in recent years, it's been associated with political corruption. Does Italy have an image problem?
It had, I think, in two ways. Berlusconi, who was well known for his competence and skills in politics, did a lot of damage, more damage than most Italians realize, by making the country look irresponsible at a time when the economic crisis in Europe in 2001 needed all the countries to be responsible. While all the other countries of Europe were working together and taking collaborative measures to lessen the negative effects of the crisis, he deliberately ignored it and didn't work with them. Secondly, people realized that the country had not changed for a long time, and that is the root of most of the economic problems it had. Italy seriously needed a political revision, and Berlusconi made it crystal clear. He and his government did not make any structural reforms that would improve the then existing political and economic systems in the country. Today, however, the situation is much better thanks to the wiser implementations of the new government. So I don't think Italy has an image problem anymore.
I see what you mean. Okay. One of the things that I find interesting about Italy is how young a country modern Italy is. Yet it's also an ancient civilization. What would you say about this contradiction?
Well, I think both modern and ancient Italy have a strong connection. On one hand, there is this consciousness of a long and glorious past. They know that their ancestors changed Western civilization for good, by creating the Roman Empire and the Renaissance. People look back on the glories of the past and think they're maybe a bit better than other people. That's the superiority complex, something Italians have in common with the Greeks. On the other hand, there is the inferiority complex that comes from being ruled by foreigners for a very long time and not being able to found the independent Italy until the 19th century. England has been England since the 11th century. France has been France for even longer. But Italy has only been Italy for less than 150 years. So I think there's always a feeling of fragility.
So you say Italians bear both inferiority and a superiority complex regarding their past. What about geography? How has geography shaped the Italian character?
Not as much as history. There has been a division between the North and the South, but that's a division due to history. For hundreds of years, the South was under foreign rule, so Southerners were very much cut off from Northerners. So I guess Southerners suffer more from inferiority complex. Other than that, I can say that Southerners are much more relaxed and easygoing due to the climate, whereas Northerners could be described as more hardworking.
Okay, let's turn our attention to politics. You know, Italy is famous for its complicated bureaucracy. That's why they recently established a new ministry, the Ministry of Simplification. This is something really interesting and weird. Could you tell us about that?
You have a point. At first, it may really seem ridiculous, but in practice, it really serves its purpose. The current Prime Minister once told me that one of his aims was to make Italy a simpler place. All kinds of things are unnecessarily complicated, whether it be laws or judicial or administrative procedures. If you're driving in Italy, you come up against these signposts that no human being could probably read while driving about 5 miles per hour. There can be 18 different things pointing in different directions. How are people expected to read them all? God only knows.
I think here in America we need a ministry like this. Okay, another characteristic that the Italians are famous for is the culture of bargaining. And in your book, you have this really funny chapter about how common bargaining is in the marketplace and in shops. What can you say about it? Is bargaining an indispensable part of Italian way of life?
It is. Actually, bargaining is not only a part of Italian culture, but a common characteristic in nearly all Mediterranean countries. Take Greece, for instance, or Turkey. People of these countries are also very fond of bargaining, and they don't like shopping without trying to reduce the prices of goods. I guess it's something about the need to communicate with one another rather than buying things at a cheaper price. Mediterranean people like to be in contact with each other, even if they are total strangers, as it is in the case of customer and seller. They regard bargaining as a part of daily communication.
This is the end of the first half of the radio interview. Now you're going to listen to the second half of the interview. You now have 30 seconds to look at questions 6 to 10. Now, listen.
Okay, we're back again, and you're listening to WHD Community Radio. Yes, Mrs. Hooper, let's talk about religious issues a bit. Italy has been the center of Catholic religion for centuries. What is the role of Roman Catholic Church today? Is Pope Francis really as popular as the media suggests?
Certainly, Pope Francis is popular, but there is much more to it. I think there's a relationship between Italians and the Roman Catholic Church that goes beyond the effect of any pope. Even people who aren't religious in Italy take pride in the fact that the Roman Catholic Church is so closely associated with their country. The Roman Catholic Church puts forward a moral code which you agree or disagree with, but no other moral code in the world has been given this much thought throughout history. It's a global entity. That's what Italians are proud of. However, the religious map of Italy has been changing for a while. For most of Italy's history, Protestantism or other religions have been non-existent. That's changing now. All of a sudden, the Roman Catholic Church's spiritual dominance is being challenged, particularly by Islam, as more and more people come from abroad. Large numbers of immigrants also come from Eastern Europe. They're Christians, but not Roman Catholics. They're Orthodox. All of that is creating a much more diverse picture than has ever existed in Italy.
Speaking of immigrants, one of the most famous Italian faces of recent years is that of the soccer star Mario Balotelli, who is an immigrant himself. How is immigration changing Italy?
Hugely. And it's been very rapid. The country I arrived in 1994 was largely homogeneous. Italians weren't used to living with people of other ethnicities. Today, the number of foreigners living in Italy is comparable to that in most other European countries. Still, I can say that Italians are welcoming and hospitable towards the immigrants. In fact, the polls show that the degree of tolerance towards migrants increases as you go south. This sense of integration is largely due to the fact that not so long ago, Italians were emigrants themselves, heading off to Northern Europe or America for work. There is almost no family in Italy who doesn't have a member somewhere abroad. So, because they were immigrants themselves, they can easily sympathize with the newcomers.
I think at this very point we need to talk about family and family bonds in Italy, because Italy is also famous for its strong and traditional family bonds. In your book, you say family is the bedrock of Italian society. Is that still true?
It is indeed, but it's a different kind of family. Family bonds have remained astonishingly strong. Italians have disputes within families like everybody else, but there is a loyalty to the institution that goes beyond anything I've encountered. Family bonds are even stronger than they are in Spain, which is another Latin society with very similar characteristics. But the traditional idea of the family, with mama in the kitchen, has disappeared. Today's family is very likely to have one child, maybe two, very exceptionally three, because women have found it impossible to combine the roles of mother and wife and caregiver and professional. In Italian or Latin societies, women are expected to do a job to keep up the family income, to look after the older members of the family, to be wives, which usually involves doing the cooking and having children and bringing them up. And it's too much.
Okay, Mrs. Hooper. It would be a shame not to talk about Italian cuisine. We can't talk about Italy without talking about food. Is it as central to the Italian way of life as ever?
I would say it's even more essential to its identity than it was a few years ago. Until recently, Italian food was not taken very seriously in the rest of the world. When you went to an Italian restaurant abroad, you wouldn't expect anything other than spaghetti or pizza. However, Italian cuisine is full of delicious flavors. Luckily, in recent years, Italian cuisine has conquered the world, and people are now well aware of these tastes. When I go to London or New York, I don't have to explain to people what a cafe macchiato is. 20 years ago, people would have stared at me blankly. Food also has a very important function in Italian society. It's what brings the family together in the evening or on Sundays. It's also often the necessary glue for a business deal. Many Italians will tell you that they only really trust somebody in a deal when they've sat down and had a meal with them and shared a bottle of wine. And the foundation of Italian food is still the family. The idea of how to make a particular dish is carried on from one generation to the next and becomes part of the identity of the family.
Mrs. Hooper, one last question. You might find it a bit too personal and you may not want to answer it. It's no problem. As an American, you've lived in Italy for many years. What do you love and dislike most about Italy?
Oh, it's no problem, in fact. The thing I love most is an aspect of the idea of joy. For Italians, the way you feel is far more important than the way life treats you. I remember once being in a restaurant, and a young woman in a white dress was going up a flight of stairs. She tripped and spilled an entire plate of spaghetti and tomato sauce all over her beautiful white dress. Her reaction was to stand there and laugh. This shows the belief that no matter how bad things get, you've got to put a brave face and not take it too seriously. I find that a very adorable characteristic of the Italians. The thing I like least about them is another aspect of the idea of joy, which is a tendency to turn away from whatever is ugly. They don't like to talk about illnesses, accidents, or disability. So, two aspects of the same thing. The joy of life, both seen and unseen.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Hooper. It's been a really great pleasure to have you here on WHD Community Radio.
Thank you. Grazie.
This is the end of the While Listening section.